This is the Hockey News Podcast.
It's the Hockey News Podcast, everybody. It's the funnest time of year for hockey fans. It's the playoffs. We're here to pick every series in the Eastern Conference in the first round. Very exciting stuff, especially because we have a special guest here today. We got Ryan Kennedy, we got Ken Campbell, we got me, Matt Larkin, but we also have our resident computer boy, our resident whiz kid,
our pointy-headed
our
geek.
Resident millennial.
That's you.
A guy whose name, his last name is so hard to say that I just copy and paste it for the rest of time. Dominic Lecision is here today. Hey, Dom.
How's it going? You pronounced my name wrong.
Did I really?
You were like Curtis Lecision.
Well, I gotta be honest here. I've always just called him Dom Lecision, and I've never bothered to ask how to actually say it. So Dom, just tell me right now, how do you say your name for real,
it's
buddy?
Lecision.
Lecision. That's Lecision. Pretty close. But
I think Lecision's better.
No.
This is a good public service announcement for
okay. Say it again.
Twitter,
say it again, Dommy.
Lecision.
Loose chishin.
There you go.
Okay.
I think Lecision's better.
You got some chishins and they're loose.
I don't know, Don.
You gotta ring them in.
If I were you, I'd just go with Lecision. But, you know, that's just me. It's just an idea.
Career advice. You'll never make it to Hollywood.
Career advice, just change the name completely, maybe.
Yeah. Dominic Lawrence.
To Anastasiou or something like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anastasiou.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, time to pick some series. Let's start at the top of the Eastern Conference with the President's Trophy winner, the Washington Capitals, and they have drawn the Toronto Maple Leafs, the team which had everything to lose on the weekend and suddenly has nothing to lose. What do you guys think is going to happen in this series?
I think that there is no conceivable way. I see no scenario, aside from maybe, you know, contracting the bubonic plague simultaneously, that the Washington Capitals lose this
series.
Which
could happen to Washington.
The Maple Leafs have the Maple Leafs have no chance in this series, in my opinion. No chance. I think it might go five, and I think that the Maple Leafs blew a great opportunity on Sunday night when they blew a two-goal lead and got scored shorthanded on the game winner to play the Ottawa Senators in the first round and maybe win a series, and now they're just going to be happy to be there, and I think it's going to be short, and I think it's going to be deadly.
I am not surprised that Ken thinks there is no chance, because of course there is a chance. It's not a very good one.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Oh, God. The Leafs definitely have the lowest chance in the first round, because they're playing arguably the best team in the league, and they're probably not one of the better teams in the playoffs. They would have had a chance against the Sens. They probably might have even been favorites against the Sens. But against the Caps, it'll probably be short. It'll probably be a great learning experience for them for a future series. But I really doubt they win. But I'm going to hedge my bets and say there is a chance, unlike Ken, who thinks there is a 100% chance that Washington will win.
Okay, so what would have to happen? Tell me what would have to happen. Like so Frederik Andersen plays out of his mind.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Is he going to be that much better than Braden Holtby?
Did you think Halak would be that much better?
Halak. He just has to be Halak.
This isn't the same.
But the Capitals didn't have a Holtby in 2010.
They didn't have a Holtby then, and
true.
This is not the same team.
Yeah.
And like, come on.
Those
I mean, they've got
just as good a team in 2010. They might have even had a better chance that year.
I don't know.
In the first round against the Habs weren't very good.
But this year's Caps team is the most complete team they've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
They got
yeah.
Kevin Shattenkirk added, and I know, Ryan, you've talked about this a lot because you talked to Todd Reirden, but the team is so dominant defensively, and we saw it against the Leafs. We got a sample size right there last week. The Leafs are a top-five offensive team in the NHL, number one in possession in terms of generating shot attempts offensively, and the Capitals just completely smothered them. They look like they erased them. I think that's why this Capitals team is so much different this year.
Yeah, and for me, I think the Capitals are going to romp. I could see Toronto maybe winning either Game 1 or Game 3, you know, basically if they catch the Caps napping a bit. Toronto does have one of the best power plays in the league. It's slightly better than Washington's. When it comes to penalty kill, teams are about even as well. But yeah, there's a very slight chance. But for me, I think Washington has the secret to specifically beating the Leafs, which is to pound them physically and sort of choke the life out of that offense that's so much fun to watch. So if they can do that and just maintain their usual, you know, Caps level of excellence during the regular season, then it's going to be, you know, five games or less. I think you know, the devil's advocate thing to say here is that, you know, if the Leafs can win the special teams battle and Anderson plays out of his mind and the Washington Capitals start to remember that they haven't won a Stanley Cup in this decade or ever for that matter, but that they've choked every year, then you start hearing those footsteps. Keep in mind, Washington got in real trouble against Philadelphia last season in the playoffs, and that was a bad Flyers team.
Yeah, you know, everybody talks about how, you know, the Capitals offense and how great it is, and it is. But I think the difference in this series is going to be on the back end and in goal. And back end and goal, because the Leafs can actually match up pretty favorably with the Capitals offensively. Blue lines, like, forget it. It's not even close. It's not even close. And I'm sorry, Frederik Andersen is a good goalie, but Braden Holtby is a way better goalie. And I think that's where... I don't see any scenario. Even if the Leafs win the special teams battle, even if they play their best, I just don't see it happening.
I agree with everything until the end where you say he doesn't see it happening. There is a chance it happens, but one underrated...
Sorry, saying there's a chance!
Oh, my God. One underrated thing about the Caps and the special teams battle is that the Caps actually have, like, one of the worst penalty differentials of all the playoff teams. So if they get into discipline trouble from trying to push the Leafs around, then the Leafs could get a power play goal here and there, and then they need Anderson playing godly, and then they can win a game like that.
Yep. Right. So it seems like it's consensus. I have the Caps in five. I think the Leafs, at this point, because they lost that game to Columbus, it's kind of a cute, adorable little story. Oh, the Leafs are going to get to play the playoffs.
So we're just happy to be here.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get steamrolled, but I think it's great for them. They should be very thankful. It's kind of like Pittsburgh Penguins in 2006-2007 when they made the playoffs in Crosby's second year and they got steamrolled by Ottawa. Then the next year they made it to the final, right? So to me, the Leafs are ahead of schedule. They get steamrolled a year earlier than expected. And you never know. I mean... I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto marched in there and won game one because the Caps are a little tight and the Leafs are going to be loose. The kids are going to be loose now. I think game one goes one extreme or the other. The Leafs get absolutely steamrolled, like 6-1, or they win, you know, 3-2 in overtime or something like that. So I got Caps in five, and you guys got something similar?
Yeah, Caps in five for me. I think, this is great for a Leafs team that's basically been having fun all year, and now they can go into the playoffs and... They'll probably get smacked around, but then they'll see, like, this is what you're going to have to do next year if you want to be better in the year after that. Like, this is the real hockey right now. It's not just scoring goals and having fun out there.
Yeah, I can see, like, Mitch Marner and William Nylander and them going, hey, wait a minute. This is way different than what we're used to. Caps in four or five, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Caps in five as well.
All right, so it's pretty much unanimous. Let's move on to the next series. We got the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Rangers. The Rangers dropping out of that Metro bracket and get the luxurious path through the Atlantic Division. But does that necessarily mean that they should be the favorite in this series against the Habs, or do you guys like the Habs more? What do you think?
I like the Habs in a very tight series. It seems like New York only plays a 7-game series in the playoffs. I mean, that's not maybe a mathematical truth, but it just feels that way, that it's they always go the distance. And... you got Carey Price in net, you've got a great chance. And obviously the Habs are a lot more balanced this year than they have been in past seasons. I think New York, this is kind of fun because we're going to get at least 4, if not 7 games of Chris Kreider versus Montreal.
Oh my God.
So there's going to be hate right from the start. You know these teams are going to be watching for each other. I just think that Carey Price, he can be that difference. And Henrik Lundqvist, still, you know, one of the best goalies of this generation. But I think the Habs just have a slight edge there. And that's really the difference for me, is that I think Carey Price can be that intimidator that could shut down a team like the Rangers, even though they have a pretty good arsenal of weapons at their disposal and a lot of depth.
Yeah, I think that the Habs have a much larger edge over the Rangers, but I am on the record as saying the Rangers are not that great this year, especially with Henrik Lundqvist having one of his worst years in, I think, a decade. You've got to think that age is catching up to him. So the goalie battle between him and Price, if Lundqvist can regain his form, it's closer, but the way he's played this year, it's probably just as lopsided as the Washington-Toronto series. And up front, I think Montreal is... probably one of the most underrated teams in the league because everyone thinks they're just Carey Price, but they have a good top nine. Their defense is probably one of the deepest in the leagues. They have an actual team in front of them, and it's played a lot better since Claude Julien stepped behind the bench. So I look at the Rangers, and their defense still doesn't impress me much. They don't have any superstar forwards up front if they play Tanner Glass, which they might, there's a good chance.
Well, Montreal might play Dwight King or Andreas Martinsson.
Is true. Yeah. That's why I said Montreal's top nine, because their fourth line is really bad. But if the Rangers decide to willingly play Tanner Glass, then it's even probably more lopsided than I think. I don't think it'll be that close.
Up until a couple of weeks ago, I would have picked the Rangers in this series. And I kind of still am picking the Rangers, only because I sent out a bold prediction tweet saying there would be no Canadian teams in the second round of the playoffs.
How many death threats?
And I got a tweet back from a guy saying, bold, true statement. You're an asshole and no one likes you.
Hey, that's only half true. I like you.
Anyhow, a couple of weeks ago, up until a couple of weeks ago, I would have picked the Rangers in this series. But I think that the worms turned on both sides. I think the Canadians have gotten a lot better. They've really come together in the last couple of weeks. Their goaltending's gotten a lot better. They seem to be more, they seem to be scoring more. They seem to be finding their game a little more. And the Rangers, it seems ever since they kind of got locked into that spot that they were in, they kind of they let it go. It kind of went off the rails. So, I mean, the realist in me is saying that Montreal should win this series, but, I made that tweet, so I guess I got to go with the Rangers.
Oh, man. Yeah, I do think it's going to be a close series, and I think the Rangers, they're still one of the deepest teams in the league at forward. They score with sort of that death of a thousand cuts. They don't have that superstar, like Dom said, but they have a million 25-goal, 50-point type of guys, even right down to the third line. You got, like, Michael Grabner scoring, 27 goals, and Kevin Hayes. So I do think they're going to keep the series close. And they're a physical team. They got good size up front as well, which is going to be, I think, a bit of a problem for Montreal. But in the end, the last time I checked, the Rangers in possession numbers, like score zone and venue adjusted Corsi, the Rangers are, I think, the worst team in the entire playoff field possession wise, whereas Montreal is close to the top. And we've seen over the years those numbers don't lie. And I think Lundqvist, I think you guys are being even generous with how bad Lundqvist has been this year. He's battled injuries. He's 35 years old. And last year in the playoffs, he was atrocious as well. He got chased in multiple games.
I'm not convinced that Antti Raanta is not going to be the guy that ends this series.
He very well could be.
I'm not convinced it's not going to be him.
It's an ego thing, not just for Lundqvist, but also for the Rangers management, because they're paying Lundqvist $8.5 million. That they have to start him. But I don't think he's the best goalie on his own team right now. And that's no disrespect to Hank. He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. But, he's just getting up there. He's getting along the tooth.
It might be the best thing for the Rangers for them to give up, like, a 3-spot in the first period of game one. Pull Lundqvist and put Raanta in, and then they've got their excuse, right? Raanta plays well, and they can play him the rest of the series.
Chris Kreider should run Lundqvist.
I think he'll have a much longer leash than one game, personally. But to go off your point on the worst possession team in the playoffs, I think they're also one of the worst goal-scoring teams in the playoffs, too. I think they're, 12th in goals percentage, so it's not just possession. They're not that great of a 5-on team to begin with.
I would say the only thing is if Lundqvist has sort of a swan song, like, this is my lad, like, Kevin Costner will play him in the movie, where it's like, they said he was over the hill, they said his time on Broadway was finished, but Hank had one more run, and then, he builds up little snow piles in the crease, like, in the Stanley Cup final, and, they save a couple of goals that way. That would be the one sort of, extraneous factor, but, yeah, other than that, I think you're right. Like, I remember having a conversation with an ex-NHL goalie one time, and he was like, when you lose it as a goalie, you just fall off a cliff. Like, it doesn't come back.
Yeah, it doesn't generally.
So it's like what we're at right now. I feel like Lundqvist is on the precipice. Where is this the beginning of the end? Is there slightly more? Is he already falling off? I think this playoff will kind of be the definitive answer.
Mm-hmm. So other than Ken's spite on Twitter, it seems like we're again pretty unanimous. I have the Habs in 7, and what do you say officially, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm saying Habs in 7 as well.
I'll say Habs in 6.
I'll say Rangers in 7, I guess. Even though I really don't believe it. Like, I really don't believe it. I don't think that they're going to win, but I got to go with it,
you
man.
You got to stick to the path. Your Twitter feed is writing checks that your butt can't cash.
Well, for that reason, I still kind of want to say, the Lightning are going to win the Stanley Cup, because we picked them to win at the beginning of the year, but
I didn't.
Shit.
I just wanted to say that, on the record, I tried to steer everyone away from the Lightning. No one listened to me. I'm just saying.
So, okay, so if we don't vote for Coach of the Year, but if you had a vote for the Coach of the Year, would John Cooper be in your top five?
Nikita Kucherov. I just give the Jack Adams to Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah.
He's the one who carried it.
Well, and Victor,
Andre Vasilevsky, and Braden Point.
Yeah, all those guys.
Yeah, I might give him maybe the fifth vote.
Yeah, I think he'd be in my top five. Mm-hmm. I think he'd definitely be in my top five.
They came close, considering they went pretty much the whole season without Stamkos and had a bunch of other crucial injuries. Yeah,
probably like borderline like 5-7 range, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan and I were talking about it today, whether or not Mike Babcock is going to usurp John Tortorella and take the Jack Adams now that the Leafs made the playoffs. I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think Greg Wyshynski was saying this on Puck Daddy not too long ago, that, you know, that award is voted on by broadcasters, not writers. And broadcasters love a narrative, and you have a great narrative in Mike Babcock this year. So that will help as well.
You know, what about Joel Quenneville, eh?
I know.
Yeah, like, what about it, eh? You know?
Well, it's the coach of a great team. It's the old curse. You gotta be the coach of the... It's basically the guy who coaches the most improved team.
Right. And it could have been the Minnesota Wild at one point, but I'm not too sure that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, Quenneville will just have to be happy tripping over a pile of Stanley Cups every time he comes in from his garage.
Exactly.
That's right. All right, now that we have that little Jack Adams intermission out of the way, let's move on to the Penguins and Columbus Blue Jackets. Again, this is the unfair series. If we had to label it something, it's the series with the two of the top four teams in the NHL. Because of the divisional format, they have to play each other. To me, that makes for a close series on paper. What do you guys think?
I think you're right. I think this is going to be an extremely close series. I think Brandon Dubinsky is going to be big factor in this series. Mm-hmm. He's gonna cross-check Sidney Crosby in the head in the first period, and he's going to do something that should get him kicked out of the game. He won't get kicked out, and then he'll score in overtime. So that'll be fun. I just think that, I don't know, I don't think you can bet against the champs right now, even though they're a bit banged up, and obviously Chris Letang is not going to be anywhere near this series or any of the series that they play. I don't know. I still defer to the team that's done it before, as opposed to the team that's kind of come out of nowhere a little bit. That's just sort of a gut thing, a hunch thing, but that's kind of the tipping point for me.
Yeah, I don't think you can bet against Crosby and Malkin. They turn Justin Schultz into a number one defenseman. They can do whatever they want to that back end. They'll still be an elite team, even without Letang. They're not the favorites anymore. Their Capitals are definitely ahead of them now. But against Columbus, they should still have the edge. It'll be close, but I think you can't bet against Pittsburgh. And with the whole Brandon Dubinsky, Sidney Crosby narrative, I think the only time we hear Dubinsky's name is when he cross-checks Sidney Crosby in the head, because I don't think he's going to shut him down one bit. I think it was just a one-time thing where it was just blown out of proportion because he was very physical, but Crosby was still owning him all series.
He may shut him down by like just two-handing him in the stomach or something.
Yeah.
You never know.
Crosby could just groin tap him, though. Don't forget, he's got that. He's got that in his bag of tricks.
Hey-o!
Yeah. Something also to consider is, what's Zach Werenski's status for this series? When we talk about Letang and how important he has been, but Zach Werenski, you know, this is a kid that's definitely going to get a lot of Calder vote love. Probably not going to win the award, but I think he's going to be pretty high on a lot of ballots.
He should be second.
Now, granted, Columbus still has some pretty nice mobile defenders. You know, Seth Jones having a fantastic year as well. But I would agree that, you know, Pittsburgh's just going to have a bit more of an edge there. Even with Letang gone, I think they'll have enough to get it done. And that experience, especially in a series like this when you're dealing with so many weird X factors, I think that experience really will play in.
And to me, betting on the Penguins is not just betting on Crosby and the superstar factor, it's betting on Mike Sullivan. He proved it last year. The system works so well that last year it turned, you know, Schultz, as Dom said, Trevor Daly, Ian Cole, this ragtag group, because they fire the puck up the ice so fast with those stretch passes, they use the team speed, and it doesn't seem to matter who you plug in on the wings. You know, now it's Connor Sheary, point per game player, and
Jake Guentzel
jumps in there, no problem, suddenly he's a stud, Brian Rust. The system works so well, and they all buy into it so well that I don't think it matters. You lose one guy, it's like the Hydra. Like, cut one head off, another will grow back in its place. I don't know why it's said in an accent.
Like,
I don't know. It just seems like something you'd say in an accent.
And Matt owns a Greek restaurant.
He's always
trying to do a Russian accent, and it never
turns out. If I need to do accent, I do accent.
Anyways, okay. just to get back to something else some other guys have been saying here, you guys are throwing a lot of shade at Justin Schultz, eh?
Well, not shade, just saying that he was. Well, I mean,
pointy head here was.
Pointy. That's Dom, by the way.
And you know, like, I'm going to say that, you know, defensemen take a little longer to develop, as we all know. Justin Schultz was one of the best players in the American League the year of the lockout. I think he was Rookie of the Year in the American League, even though he played half the year.
Yeah.
And was like the best defenseman, even though he played half the year. So it might just be a case of Justin Schultz is finding his game and playing in a system where he's comfortable and can thrive, and maybe we're going to see the best of Justin Schultz for the next couple of years.
Getting the Edmonton stink off of him too, probably.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I mean,
so
if you look at that,
so mean to Justin Schultz.
I said he played like a number one D man this year.
No, but you said they no, you didn't. You said that Malkin and Crosby turned him into
They poured water on the flower, and the flower blossomed.
They poured a lot of.
What did they come back and go, "Hey, Justin, here's how you box a guy out. Here's how you box a guy out. Here's how you get the puck out of the corner."
Crosby might have. He's that good.
Yeah, I've mastered face-offs. I'm now teaching defensemen how to play. I am Sidney Crosby.
Right.
Yeah, no, but that Pittsburgh system, it really is conducive to a player like Schultz who can get the puck up the ice very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I remember last year during the Cup Final, San Jose was very vexed by the fact that they really couldn't forecheck the Penguins because they dumped the puck in, Pittsburgh would wing the puck out.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Brian Dumoulin had fantastic series because they weren't trying to do too much. And with Schultz, you know, he can play simply in the defensive zone, and then he can really help out on the offensive end. So it really is a great spot for him, and they put him in a system where he could thrive.
It reminds me of how I played in House League. Like, as soon as the puck was on my stick, I was like, oh, God, and it was gone. Except except I was a forward, so it didn't really work. I got a lot of second assists.
No, he did that on purpose.
Oh, my God, I got the puck. Oh, I got to lose it. And I just fire it, and like, I had like many second assists because just from firing the puck around the ice and someone else would pick it up.
And then you fell down and hit your head and got a
concussion. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's pretty much how it went down. I do see the series going long. I mean, Columbus is still a very deep team. And it's funny. This is part of the reason why I think Washington's going to win the Cup. The winner of this series is going to have a lot of bruises. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a vicious series, I think. Probably the most vicious of the first round. But in the end, I think it's tough, too. Sergei Bobrovsky, best goalie in the world right now, just in this season, should win the Vezina. But Matt Murray, I think, played like a borderline top five goalie, too.
Absolutely.
So neutralizes that a little bit. And he won a Cup last year. So I'll say all of those factors put together, Penguins slight edge, 7-game series win.
Yeah, Pittsburgh in 7 for me.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh in 6, but I do want to say that I have a lot of respect for what the Blue Jackets did this year.
That's nice, Dom. That's really sweet of you.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh in 6 as well.
All right, so
because Dom said it.
That's a smart
and
thing.
And he's very smart.
Smart for you to agree with me.
He's smart with his computers. Bleep, bloop, blarp. And if they predict things, you know. All right, so that looks like, again, almost unanimous yet again. Next series we have Boston Bruins versus the Ottawa Senators. And the Ottawa Senators, they're clearly the Rodney Dangerfield team in this year's playoffs. The only people that like the Senators are the Senators themselves, their own parents, and Senators fans. But if you look anywhere else on Twitter, it seems like people are just shitting on the Sens. They see the Bruins as the superior team, and I'm going to guess that's the case here. But I personally, I don't know. I don't see it with the Sens. Have you guys finally come around or what?
Well, this is the unfair series. You want to talk about unfair series? This is the unfair series, because I think we can all agree these are the two worst teams in the playoffs.
Oh, no, not Boston.
Oh, no, yeah, I think these are the two worst teams in the playoffs.
No way. I'm not with you on Boston, but start with Ottawa.
Yeah, yes. Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, I think they are. I think these are the two worst teams in the playoffs. And, I mean, Ottawa is the biggest smoke and mirrors team, I think, that we've seen in 10 years.
That's not true.
Colorado.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Every year there's a team.
Yeah, and Calgary, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're right up there with all the smoke and mirrors.
They're at least top three.
There's always one anti-computer boys team that misses the playoffs the next year. So it's probably going to be Ottawa this
probably.
Year.
Probably,
yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, Ottawa is just a team that it's really hard to figure out how they're ever going to do it and how they can win a 7-game series. Boston, there's just no sense of consistency there as far as I'm concerned.
Consistent awesomeness for the last month of the season once Bruce Cassidy took over.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, they don't inspire a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to have a sustained sort of run where they can win a playoff series or two. I think they're going to win this one because there's not going to be any Canadian teams in the second round. I've already declared that. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Boston, but it's probably going to be pretty close. And I think what I'm not sure is whether this is going to be a really good series or it's going to be a really shitty series. I don't know which it's going to be. Ottawa plays a really shitty style that makes you want to go to sleep and poke your eyes out with knitting needles. But when you have teams that are really bad playing each other,
it's fun.
Which I think Boston still isn't that good. It's usually good because they're shitty players all playing against each other, or shitty teams playing against each other. I mean, but, you know, it's usually quite exciting. So I'm not sure what to expect from this.
Can I just say how shocked I am that you think the team with the best possession numbers in the league doesn't have a sustainable model for success, for consistent success? I'm not even remotely surprised that's your opinion. Because, of course, they haven't been able to score a lot this year, but I think they've turned that around just at the right time when the new coach came. I think they would have done the same thing anyway, but that's neither here nor there. I think Boston's probably... I don't want to say they're one of the legit contenders because I don't think Corsi is everything, but I think they're probably maybe in like the 5-8 range, not the 15-16 range that some person beside me may have mentioned, but...
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I agree. That was a real voice crack, by the way. Yeah. I just had a real voice crack.
They're in the 5-8 range among these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I can see where Dom's coming from, though, because, like, with Patrice Bergeron...
Yeah, because they're better than Chicago, they're better than Anaheim, they're better than...
Better than Anaheim.
Oh, they're better than Columbus.
Yeah,
better than Columbus.
No, they're
not. Yeah, they are. No, they're not.
Does Columbus have Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand up front? No.
David Pastrnak.
David Pastrnak on the second line with David Krejci.
David Backes.
Like, that forward group is
David
scary.
Backes, what's that all about?
Well, he's still a good player.
I was wrong about David Backes this year. I thought he was going to flop in Boston. I thought going for a big physical guy who was north of 30 was a bad idea. But David Backes definitely proved me wrong.
I guess I missed the part where Boston finished.
I don't think you saw Bruins game.
I think I missed that
you
part.
You did miss it because they finished 7th.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. Oh, yes, they did. Obviously, they finished 7th. Yeah, okay, I missed the part where they finished 7th and just got in the playoffs in the last week of the season.
I'm telling you.
I guess I missed that
part.
Well,
you missed the part where they won, like, every single game they played other than against the Leafs in the last, like, how many weeks of the season. All they did was win. They were on fire down the stretch.
An underrated part is that they are missing Torrey Krug for probably the first round, so the series is a lot closer now as a result, but... Without Krug, that back end looks very sketchy, but most of them are puck-moving guys, and they can get to their very skilled forwards, so I think they should be fine. It's a matter of whether Tuukka Rask is this year's Tuukka Rask or the Tuukka Rask of past playoffs, where he was usually pretty good.
Yeah, and a fun X factor might be Charlie McAvoy. He was practicing with the team, and, you know, here's a kid that, you know, he's obviously not the exact same player as Krug, but he's a puck mover. He will definitely lug it up the ice. He's kind of a fearless kid, and that could go one of two ways. I mean, if he plays with confidence and just kind of goes for it, that could be great for the Bruins. He could also make some dumb turnovers because he has never played in the NHL before. But from what I've seen of Charlie McAvoy, he tends to raise his game in pressure situations. So I think it'll be really fun to see, you know, what sort of impact, if any, he has on this series. But, again, I mean, you look at Boston, and, like, shooting was their problem at the beginning of the year. That's why they weren't winning. And, you know, it kind of regresses to the mean, if I can probably misuse an analytics term. But, you know, in this playoff series, I think what you're going to see is those top guys like Bergeron and Krejci and Pastrnak and Backes, who's been a pretty good playoff player in the past. I don't see solutions for Ottawa, particularly. I mean, Erik Karlsson can't be 100% right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's no way.
He's finally worn down to a nub. Yeah. He paid the price for leading the league in block shots.
Yeah, so, I mean, what's Brad Marchand and Backes and some of those third and fourth liners, what are they going to do when they can get a beat on Erik Karlsson, who's clearly not going to be at his elegant skating best?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think it's going to be. I don't think Erik Karlsson's going to be a liability or anything.
Not a
like
liability.
That. It's going to come down to depth, and it's going to come down to depth at forward, and it's going to come down to whether or not the Bruins' defense can at least be okay.
When you don't have Carlson at 100%, all of a sudden that offensive attack of Ottawa's gets a lot less intimidating.
Yeah.
And so if you're the Boston Bruins defense, your job gets slightly easier because you know your forwards are going to do the job for you. You have some of the best defensive forwards in the entire NHL. All of a sudden, you don't have to play. You don't have to be as good because Carlson is probably diminished, and you've got some pretty good matchups up front.
Yeah, I think again we're close to a consensus here. But to me, the Bruins are such good drivers of the play, of the possession, and the Senators. The one thing they're known for being bad at is driving the play relative to the other playoff teams. And the one guy they have who really does drive the play, as you said, Ryan, not quite himself right now. And it seems like he keeps breaking down the stretch. And I doubt he'll be 100%. So for that reason, I think this is going to be not even a particularly close series. I can almost see Boston doing it in 5 games, but I'm going to say 6. Boston in 6. Maybe Craig Anderson steals an extra game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I had Boston in 6. I was contemplating 5, but I think 6 is the way to go.
I'll say Boston in 6 just so Senators fans don't yell at me more than they already have all year.
Yeah, Boston in 6 because I think if it goes 7 and it goes back to Ottawa, you never know what could happen. So I think the Bruins will want to get this done in 6.
They might even sell at the building if there's a game 7.
They might.
Heyo! All right. On that mic drop, let's end the Eastern Conference preview. Thanks for listening, guys. And next up, we've got the West for you. Enjoy the playoffs, first round.